And now it's time to take a closer look at this past Cowboys game with Upon Further Review.
Yeah, I forgot to put in postseason game over Cowboys. We're out of Cowboys games. I don't know if y'all knew this or not. They did not make the playoffs, but we had four divisional games over the weekend. And there were two moments that were absolutely fascinating. And of course, we're talking about the 101-yard interception return by Taron Johnson for the Buffalo Bills. Critical point of the game. Turns out to be the difference in the game between Baltimore and Buffalo. It is 10-3, late third quarter, 58 seconds left. It's third and goal. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens at the 9-yard line of Buffalo. And they decide to throw the ball. And they go with two receivers left. One of those receivers is in the slot. And they also go with a slot on the right side. The Buffalo Bills put seven players up on the line of scrimmage. So it looks like they are going to blitz. So that's what Lamar Jackson sees first. Uh-oh. Looks like they're about to empty out their linebackers, and I'm going to have about 3 seconds to throw this. I think that's significant because that may have made him think in his mind, wow, I've got 2 or 3 seconds to throw this. This has got to be a quick hitter. I wanted to ask Troy this next week. Does a quarterback know when a blitz is called off? In other words, if there's seven up, and in this case, three guys drop, two linebackers and a safety drop, do they always pick that up? Do they always know it's a four-man rush, or do they always think they still think it's a blitz?
You mean called off right after the snap of the ball?
Yeah, the ball snapped to him. He's got to concentrate on that.
A disguised blitz, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they always pick that up? Or
that's a good question. My guess is that the great quarterbacks know.
Yeah.
Because they
see that movement. And they
have that vision. They have that sense. They have that feel. But that's a good question.
As fast as it happens, though.
Yeah.
And all those jerseys and guys flying all over the place, and you're trying to figure out coverage.
Right.
How do you figure out coverage and how many guys are rushing? Well, he has pretty good initial protection, and one of the guys who dropped off is Tremaine Edmonds. He is covering the tight end who's on that side, on the left side of the formation. That's Mark Andrews. They go into a zone defense, but Edmonds is the one who's running with Andrews as he is running straight to the end zone. When Andrews gets to the end zone, he stops and starts to button it up, as they say, just a button hook, turning around to his left. And the entire time, that's where Lamar Jackson is looking. Now, I think scouting is the reason why Taron Johnson was lined up where he was. He let his guy go off the line of scrimmage, the guy who was to the outside of Mark Andrews, and he passed him off to the safety, and he dropped into a zone about where the hash is. So as he's looking at Lamar Jackson, he's got a receiver on his outside. That's Snead, Willie Snead, who had run an out on that side, but the safety now has him. And in the meantime, remember I told you Tremaine Edmonds, the linebacker, had run with Andrews to the end zone. Well, all Jackson has seen is Andrews versus Edmonds. Andrews wins that matchup. He runs to the end zone, turns to his left. He's got room, and that's what Jackson sees. But he didn't see Taron Johnson, who was out of his view just to the left, but he's reading this in the zone, and we all know what happens next. He steps in and picks off the pass.
Out of his view, or...
I think he was. I don't think he saw him.
Do you think he was out of Lamar's view?
Yes.
Would he have been out of Joe Montana's view?
Good question. And that's where the questions come up about Lamar Jackson. He's got to read that. They're in zone, so there's probably a guy outside there. There's more than just the guy who's manned up on this. Or was that just a great defensive call where it was so much confusion? You got guys dropping into a zone. You don't know what it was what.
And that... probably unfair of me because I'm sure we can find a Joe Montana interception where a guy snuck in like that and picked it off.
Yeah. So that's what he's looking at, Jackson, the whole way. Taron Johnson sees that, reads it beautifully, makes a great break on the ball, picks it off. I remember thinking initially, well, he's just going to fall down and they're going to preserve a 10-3 lead here. But then he starts to step out, and we always wonder, well, why did he do it? Well, number one, he knows he's really fast, and he looked up, and you can see it on the All-22. There is nothing but green down the right sideline. As Deion always says, get to the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he started to do. But as he picks it, the first guy who has a shot at him is Andrews. And I don't think it was really a poor effort by Mark Andrews. I just think that's how fast Taron Johnson is. Andrews is kind of stumbling a little bit because he's trying to go back for the ball. The ball's picked. And by the time he gets the idea of starting to make a motion to tackle him, Johnson's already stepped out of the end zone. He's that quick. And he steps out and he looks up, and there's only the offensive lineman, and there is Lamar Jackson, and then there's the sideline. So he breaks for the sideline. I will say this. You remember Chris Collinsworth said, hey, it's one thing to have an interception, but if you're the Ravens, you've got to get him on the ground. Mm-hmm. Orlando Brown, their left tackle, and I understand he's an offensive lineman. He's tired. Third quarter, he's just, you know, trying to make a big-time pass protection on third down. If you look back at his effort, it is terrible. The ball is picked. All five of the linemen, really, their effort is terrible. They just stand there. Brown takes two steps and then stops. He doesn't take any sort of diving attempt. I don't know if he could have tackled Taron Johnson. I think he could have slowed him down, and then maybe somebody like Justice Hill, who was also in the game at running back, second-year running back from Oklahoma State, or maybe Lamar Jackson then could have got another step outside and got him. But it's a terrible effort, and then Johnson's off to the races. The only guy that caught up to him was after Johnson stopped in the end zone, Bills safety Micah Hyde. I don't know if you've seen this, but he apologized on Twitter to Johnson because he almost knocked him out. He hit him from behind. He was so excited. He ran down, caught him from behind, tackled him basically in the end zone, and drove him into that little video board that they have that they're all going to celebrate mm-hmm. in front of. If it was hockey, it would have been called for boarding. In Buffalo, they are calling this a franchise-altering play. And I think they're right if Buffalo wins this week. If they get beat this week, it's kind of like the Minneapolis Miracle. That was really cool, but the Vikings didn't go to the Super Bowl. They didn't win the Super Bowl.
Right.
They lost the next week in Philadelphia. I think they have to go to the Super Bowl. Obviously, winning it would be even better. But for that to be a franchise-altering play, I think they've got to take the next step and go ahead and beat Buffalo. It's one of the dangest things I've ever seen, though, in a game where the defensive back takes a risk, and it's the longest return, ties the longest return in NFL playoff history. George Teague did this, not for the Cowboys, but for the Packers, and their 28-24 win over Detroit January 8th, 1994. He went 101 yards, too. The next week, Green Bay would lose to Dallas. But what a play, though, and it's definitely worth another review just to watch the break on the ball and how the return sets up in front of him once Taron Johnson decides, I am going to bring this out. And it's kind of like putting the guy back on a missed field goal from 55 yards. I've always thought it's reckless, but if you see it as a defensive back and you see an alley, it's not such a bad idea. He knew he had at least the 30 or 40-yard line. Man, what a play that was by Taron Johnson. All right, here's the other one. 4th and 1, Kansas City holding on to their 22-17 lead over Cleveland. 1:42 left in the game, and it's 4th and 1 with a backup quarterback in Chad Henne. They come out, the Chiefs come out and empty, and they put Darrell Williams out on the left side of the formation. He's the running back. Then they motion him into the backfield, and this is the point where Tony Romo thought, well, they're not going to snap it. They're just going to try to draw him off sides, and you can tell by the body language they're not doing much. But upon further review, you can see the linemen are ready to go. Henne's looking over to the right. They've got three receivers right. Tyreek Hill is on the inside. He's got two receivers outside of him. And they run the play. Tyreek Hill, this is amazing on further review. How did he get that open? It wasn't any sort of pick or anything like that. He was manned up. The Cleveland Browns were in man. And MJ Stewart, number 36, the cornerback, was on Tyreek Hill. Go back and look at this if you have the chance today. And maybe you notice it on Sunday. I did not notice this Sunday. It's just a simple stutter step at the line of scrimmage by Tyreek Hill. He stutters. He takes a step with his left inside, plants that, and then cuts outside. And it's so fast, and MJ Stewart was so convinced he was going to run over the middle that by the time Hill makes his cut and Henny is ready to throw the ball, he has now beaten Stewart by 8 to 10 yards. It's a gimme.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a gimme. And Henny rolls to his right, throws it. He actually catches it, Tyreek Hill does, a yard behind the line of scrimmage, and then runs for 5 yards, alertly sits down, inbounds. That's the ball game. Andy Reid is called gutsy, a gambler. Why did he do it? It's more than just analytics and, well, it's 4th and 1, so therefore we're going to increase our winning percentage. According to the Kansas City Star, they made this decision Saturday night. This is how the Chiefs do it. Probably a lot of teams do it this way. If we have a 4th down play, what's our play? And they had this knowing that the Browns play a lot of man-to-man. Let's run this where we put 3 wide. We put Hill in the slot. The 2 outside receivers take off. They take their men deep. They clear that zone. And it's just a matter of Hill beating the guy who's covering him.
And who can cover him?
Nobody.
If all you need is a yard.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Nobody. So was it really a gamble? And they apparently, Reed did turn to Eric Bieniemy and said, "We ready to roll?" He said, "Yes, sir. We got the play." Their passing analyst already had the play. He was already thinking about it on 3rd down. And I think it was somewhat risky, but at the same time, if you know you've got Tyreek Hill, even if you have, you and I could have thrown that pass for a completion.
Yeah, now I think that adds the element of risk, the fact that he had his backup quarterback in.
Yeah.
So that did make it risky. But like I said Tuesday, Monday, when we were talking about this game, I didn't feel at the moment that Andy Reid suddenly had these gigantic nads, because it's at midfield. The Cleveland offense hasn't been anything spectacular. There's a minute and change left, and Cleveland had no timeouts. I didn't think it was insanely crazy like a lot of people thought.
Yeah.
The only crazy element to me was the fact that you had your backup quarterback, so you're trusting him, a guy who has barely played, you're trusting him to make the throw of the year.
Right. And by the time you snap at minute 17 left, if you do punt it, they've got it. You could pin them back in deep inside their own 10. No timeouts. I still think I like my chances better on 4th and 1. Mm-hmm. What if somebody gets loose? What if they have a Cleveland miracle and someone falls down and Jarvis Landry gets loose? I don't know if the play was as crazy as you think. I think it's a winning play, and I don't think it was all, we're going to increase our winning percentage here, because Andy Reid was criticized several times this year for kicking the field goal from the 3-yard line, from the 2-yard line. They went for it 16 times this year. They made it 9 times on 4th down, 56%. And they say that Reid has become the 4th most aggressive coach since 2018. Coincidentally, that's when Patrick Mahomes took over as quarterback, so he felt like he could be a little more aggressive on 4th down. But here with Chad Henne on 4th down and 1, he still believed in their system, believed in Tyreek Hill, and believed that this thing would work. And if they go on to the Super Bowl and win another one, this goes down in the annals of Chiefs history of one of the great all-time plays. It was awesome. The 4th down and 1 for Kansas City against Cleveland. There you go. Playoff edition of Upon Further Review.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville?
Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see, good for my career. Send me to rehab, though, so. That's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.